We're here for the case A201524, Sarah Ann Trisco on behalf of minor children versus Karen Mary Hartung.
All right, and good morning. So this is the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Judges Johnson and Riley are appearing with me. We have Mr. Apris here on behalf of the appellant. This is a case in which the respondent did not file a brief, and so we'll be hearing from you, Mr. Apris, with regard to support for your argument as appellant. I'll just make a couple of quick remarks and then let you go ahead with your presentation. So you notice, of course, that we're handling today's proceedings by Zoom. And so while that is not the same as normal, that's the only thing that's different. Our procedures otherwise are exactly the same. I will point out one thing that is the same that some people overlook, which is that we don't allow recordings of these proceedings taken by others. Now, the court does maintain a recording of these proceedings, an audio recording that is then later posted on our website. And then before you start your remarks, if you will identify yourself for the record, as well as the client you represent, and then keep your eye on the clock. The 15 minutes tends to go quickly. We really enjoy the conversation. If you need additional time, I'm at liberty to give you that. But because you don't have an opponent, I'm guessing perhaps we can finish within the 15 minutes. But
I think so.
All right. So with that, we are ready to hear from counsel for appellant, and you can begin when you're ready.
Okay. Thank you, and may it please the court. I am John Apris. I represent the appellant, Karen Mary Hartung. And, appellant in this matter has a high burden in seeking to overturn the harassment restraining order. Among other things, Ms. Hartung must show that the district court abused its discretion. And we submit that not only did the district court abuse its discretion in this matter, but it also allowed admission of evidence in violation of the hearsay rule, and ultimately ruled improperly as a matter of law that an HRO should be issued against Ms. Hartung under 609.748. So I'll start with the assertion that as a matter of law, Ms. Hartung did not harass respondents. And I'll briefly touch on the standard at issue in this case. There's many, or basically there's like three different bases for harassment, or three different definitions. The one relevant here is repeated incidents of intrusive or unwanted acts, words, or gestures that have a substantial adverse effect or intended to have substantial adverse effect on the safety, security, or privacy of another. So that's really what's at issue here. And I would assert that the findings of the district court don't address safety or security, that really this is a matter of whether the privacy of respondents was intruded upon to a degree that there was a substantial adverse effect on their privacy. And when we kind of drill down to what the court's actual findings were, the district court found that there were basically two incidents of intrusive behavior. One, uninvited entry onto the respondent's property by Ms. Hartung to look at the garage, and I think it was the status of a construction project on the respondent's garage. And then this supposed conversation between appellant and one of the respondent minor child, the 9-year-old of child of Ms. Trisco. And neither one of those presents an objectively reasonable belief that she is intruding or having a substantial adverse effect on privacy. If we look at the intrusion, or the uninvited entry regarding checking out the garage, Ms. Hartung was already aware that they were doing construction. The record shows that she had been onto the property before, invited, and she went to respondent's garage. She did not enter the home uninvited, where there would be much greater privacy concerns. This was construction project was ongoing, and I believe the record reflects that she was curious about that, or that's kind of what she was curious about, looking at the progress of this construction project, which was out in the open. It was a garage. This was something that wasn't private by nature. So
Mr. Abris, maybe you can help me on a couple of factual points. So is this an attached garage?
I don't believe it is. It's a standalone.
I didn't see that in the record.
I mean, I've been to the property and it's not attached.
Okay. There's a loft though. The parties all talk. There is a loft in the garage.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. And apparently, as I read the testimony and the district court's findings, the determination was that Ms. Hartung didn't just enter the garage. She actually went up into the loft uninvited. And maybe that's where the construction project was going on, I'm guessing. I don't know. It seems to me that's an important part of your analysis. The district court disagreed with your view that this is not an invasion in privacy to enter someone's garage and loft uninvited. So how do you overcome our standard of review and obtain reversal on that? And if you choose, I mean, obviously repeated instances are required, you can just move on to your other argument.
Well, thank you, Your Honor. I think that's a good point that, it does have to be repeated. And I guess I would just point out that there's case law, and I think we point this out in our brief, that it has to be, objectively reasonable in terms of the substantial adverse effects. So it's not just that there's an invasion or intrusion into someone's privacy. It's that there's a substantial adverse effect.
Well, the district court's findings on that one were pretty detailed. I mean, the district court found that there were objective manifestations of a substantial adverse effect based on Ms. Trisco's testimony about erecting a clothesline, building a fence. And I think there were even some references to the security cameras, but that may have happened later. I won't profess to know the record as well as you do. But there were several steps that were taken by the Triscos that are considered objective manifestations. And I think the district court credited them as showing that, yes, Ms. Hartung's actions did have a substantial adverse impact. And again, I'm not making these findings. I'm just repeating what the district court said, and I'm looking to you to tell me how, on what basis we would reverse those findings, because there certainly is evidence in the record to support them.
And Mr. Abris, I want to also add that it seems the judge made comments about how your client knew a lot about the Triscos even before they moved in, like what other properties they had looked at, knew lots of things about the cleaning woman that even they didn't know. And so that kind of, when I read his comments at the end of the hearing and his findings, that also seemed to figure into the whole tableau of how he ended up granting the harassment restraining order.
Yeah. Yes, Your Honor. And I'll address that point. And then I think that the fence is one I'd like to address. First of all, I think there's a mistake in the record, or the district court made a mistake in finding that the fence was connected to Ms. Hartung. But the record, I believe it was Ms. Trisco, testified that the fence was built to prevent their dogs from getting out and other animals from getting into their property. And so I think,
I saw that in your brief, Mr. Abris, but I mean, Mr. Trisco testifies that things got better initially after they put up the fence because Ms. Hartung stopped coming over. Okay. So I think from there, it's reasonable for the judge to infer that in part, yes, the fence was built to create a separation between the parties who were having problems.
Okay. Well, and then kind of to address the issue about, Ms. Hartung knowing information. First of all, this is a small community where, if the Hartungs were looking for property, the record doesn't go, I'll just put a little caveat here. The record doesn't go into why or how she knew that information. The Triscos do not make any sort of, respondents didn't prove or put any information on the record that this was acquired improperly. In the modern world, we tend to know things about each other, our neighbors. It's not, our degree of comfort with that might vary, but I know my neighbors know when I come and go from work, and that's just because they live next door. And this is a smaller lake community up in Melrose, Minnesota. you know, people are generally going to know, you know, if someone's selling a house, or, you know, they're likely to observe. But I don't think there's any finding that Ms. Trisco's knowledge, you know, exceeded any, that she did anything inappropriate to have that information. So, you know, it's just information she had, and it's so, in the record that she had a relationship with them and had talked to them, and that they thought she was nice. So
Mr. Abrus, the way I interpreted the district court's findings about the information is a little different from the way you are describing it. So I just want to get your reaction to that. The district court commented, it's not about how Ms. Hartung acquired the information about the cleaning lady. It is instead, or about how she learned that the Triscos were looking at different homes and whatever other facts she divulged. She knew about them before they moved in. It's the way in which she divulged that information, as well as her repeated inquiries about where Mr. Trisco was and some other comments that were prying. That's how the district court looked at it, as Ms. Hartung was repeatedly prying into their personal matters and making comments that indicated she wanted to divulge, I know about you. So, so it is personal, you know, to not to the cleaning lady. It is personal to the Triscos that Ms. Hartung's making these type of comments, and that was the intrusion the district court was persuaded by.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, I would argue, or I would, I guess to some extent, I think the findings aren't necessarily clear as to whether or not that was, I guess my interpretation of the findings were that it was this, the one intrusion where she went to the garage and looked at the loft, and then the conversation with respondent, with the minor child, mm-hmm. were kind of the two things that seemed to be what the court actually said, okay, these are the, you know, intrusive or unwanted acts that form the basis. But I would concede that, you know, I think that's a fair reading that, yeah, the court addressed all those issues that, you know, that you brought up, that Your Honor brought up. And I think the incident with the conversation between Ms. Hartung and their respondent's child, I think, you know, the most important argument regarding that is that, you know, this was admitted in violation of the hearsay rule, that, you know, the district court found that it was an excited utterance. However, you know, the record shows that this was, you know, the minor child talking to Ms. Trisco that occurred about a week after the conversation supposedly took place. And it was a question about whether the family went to church and whether they prayed. And as far as the record shows, that was the one time she asked that. You know, obviously the child did not testify at the hearing, but, you know, I would submit that it's not an excited utterance, just if nothing else, because there's too much time between the event and the child mentioning the event, saying, you know, talking about the conversation. And, you know, time by itself doesn't, you know, isn't outcome determinative, but the nature of the supposed startling event matters. Or I would say, you know, it matters so that, you know, after a week, something that's not that startling, at least objectively, you know, it'd be one thing if the child went in right after the conversation and mentioned it to her mother, but a week later, it, you know, I think becomes problematic under the.
So if we agree with you, Mr. Abrus, and that the district court did err in considering this hearsay evidence, the way I read the district court's findings, and again, I'm focused on the end of the transcript, the district court, we've already talked about found the garage entry. So yep. That's one intrusive act if that's upheld on appeal. And then secondly, these repeated instances of Ms. Hartung prying into the family's privacy with regard to comments about the cleaning lady, comments about this particular family, knowing a lot of information about the family, Mr. Trisco's whereabouts. And I think the judge calls it prying too far, too many details, something along those lines. And then he gives several examples. So, you know, even if we exclude or don't consider this hearsay testimony, it seems that we've got two instances of intrusive conduct. So
yeah.
So tell me where we stand there on your view that this order should be reversed.
Well, Your Honor,
Judge Bradfold and Mr. Ebrus, I'd also like to add that the judge also found your client's comments about liking to watch the husband jump off the deck in his underwear and wanting to ride the jet ski with her arms wrapped around him, also found those to be to meet statutory requirements. So that would be three, even if we disregard or find the judge erred in allowing or abused his discretion in allowing the child's testimony to come in through hearsay.
Well, yeah, and you're so kind of addressing both, but you know, both, I mean, I guess to me, the, you know, the question, I guess, yeah, it comes down to, is there, even if we, yeah, so excluding the child's statements, there is these other things that the district court pointed to. And I guess I would, I mean, I guess that gets us to our final argument that just in terms of the sufficiency, you know, of the evidence, you know, at least with regard to Mr. Trisco, the comments about him, the court, you know, did ultimately disregard him. And I know at least one basis for it, or the court ultimately, first of all, pointed out that Mr. Trisco was not a party to the TRO. He was a witness, but he was not, he did not submit a petition. And so the court, I know, didn't overly focus on those things. And I think, I guess my reading of what the court was saying is that they weren't necessarily part of the decision. I mean, I guess if true, would obviously be concerning, but did not put a lot of weight or make a finding that those were, that that was actually established, that that occurred. I guess to me, it was a little muddled as to what the court found with regard to those accusations. And I see that my time is out. There is no, over.
You can finish your answer, Mr. Ebrus. Okay. I think the, you know, again, even if we credit your view of the comment about Mr. Trisco and the hearsay about the trial child, the hearsay testimony about what the child said, we're still left with two other instances. So help me understand on that basis, how would this court reverse?
Well, I think from there, well, it would either be that as a matter of law, that it was objectively reasonable as an intrusion, or as a having a substantial adverse effect is the one argument. And we kind of addressed, you know, we've addressed that. But then, you know, our final argument is just the sufficiency of the evidence. And I mean, I guess I would respectfully disagree about the, you know, to some extent, I think, the, you know, acquiring information, you know, matters somewhat. And I think that, I mean, the burden was on the respondents to show how or why that knowledge, you know, would be objectively, you know, have a substantial adverse effect on privacy when most of, you know, their cleaning lady and other houses they look at, you know, is something that likely is in the public. You know, when people are looking at houses, that's not necessarily, people know, it's something people can easily acquire in a public manner. And respondents didn't show that she had done anything inappropriate in having that information, or even, yeah. So, and I think that's where I would okay. leave it, unless there's any more questions from the court.
Thank you, Mr. Ebrus. Any questions from the panel? Okay. Thank you so much. Really appreciate hearing your argument today. It helps us very much as we move ahead and reach a decision in this case. The matter is now submitted for our decision, and we will issue a written opinion within the statutory time frame. Okay.